How's it going, Clippers?
What's up?
It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On NBA, part of the Locked On. We're Locked On Clippers. Who are we? What am I doing here?
We're the 60 is what we are.
But we are the 60. We're part of the Locked On NBA network, coming at you 5 days a week. But you already know that if you listen to the pod.
You guys know that.
We just do that for the newbies. But we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a preview of tonight's game against the Rockets. We got a real tough one
ahead of
us.
Biggest game of the year so far?
I don't know about that.
Close.
It's probably up there.
Yeah, in terms of seeding. Anyway.
I feel like that last Lakers game where they still had the possibility of making a playoff push.
Oh, that's
that
a
one
good
felt
call.
Really big just in, I mean, maybe more in terms of narrative than anything
yeah,
else.
True.
But that one felt huge to me.
Yeah.
All right,
well, we'll get into it.
So we got a preview. We got a preview of that for you, and then we're gonna get into our regular Wednesday segment, which is what could have been Wednesday or the parallel universe.
Spooky.
Where we talk about what could have happened if things turned out a little bit differently.
A little different.
This one is kind of heart wrenching.
This one's a big one.
This one has to deal with the literal heart and soul of this team.
Usually, these are kind of funny. This is a real one.
And then we're going to wrap things up with just some kind of general Clips talk.
Yeah.
And, yeah, let's get into it. But first, guys, if you're watching any live sporting event, you should be checking out Tom's Urban at LA Live. Speaking of sporting events you could check out.
What?
We're going to be there this Sunday. That's the 7th of April.
Yes.
5:30 p.m. We're going to be having a little watch party for the away game versus the Golden State Warriors.
Come hang out. It should be a good time. We're going to be drinking beers, eating chos.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you don't like that, I don't know. Don't come, I guess.
Yeah. If you don't like that, then you hate fun.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Very true. But yeah, come through. We'll be there probably around 5 hanging out.
Yeah.
Open to everybody, even Warriors fans.
Yeah. Come open to Warriors fans. Obviously open to Lakers fans. Whoever.
Yeah. Let's get into this preview. We're playing the Rockets tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We catch these guys on the second night of a back-to-back after they played the Kings.
That's a tough game.
That has to be the worst team to play the first night of a back-to-back.
I mean, worst-case scenario would be the second night of a back-to-back, but yeah.
In terms of first night. Wow, what if you had to play the Kings then the Kings? Can't imagine that.
One of those back-to-backs where, like, you're away and then at home.
Golden State or us, any of the California teams could have theoretically had that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. Injuries for tonight. Bev is questionable.
Okay.
Something tells me there's no way he doesn't play in this game.
I have to agree with that.
he's not going to let the trainers hold them out for this game.
Yeah, and also, just as a side note, there are no asterisks in wins.
Absolutely
but we could sweep this series tonight.
Yeah.
We've won both our games against the Rockets. No
Which
asterisks.
Which were our third and fifth game of the season, I think.
Yeah. One of them might have been without one key player, and
maybe,
the other one might
knows?
Have been without a different key player. But, you know, as I said.
What, you do lose?
Get out of here.
And then for the Rockets, no Fareed. And then Green was out last night, so we can kind of assume he's not going to play either.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming they're not going to play him.
Yeah.
This is a good preview of probably the playoff matchup we're going to have.
The way things are looking, this is going to be the matchup.
If the Blazers continue to trend down and the Rockets continue to trend up.
It seems like the Rockets, I believe, have the easier schedule of the two.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this game. So what do we need to do to win, Will?
I mean, getting stops. So this is a little bit of a tricky one. So
yeah.
In general, the Rockets defense has been a lot worse this year than it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
They are 20th. They're 20th on the season
in total defense.
In total defense, yeah, and that's per 100 possessions based on defensive rating.
Got it.
And we have been 17th spot
okay. On
the season, so marginally better
for sure.
Not great.
Mm-hmm.
However, unfortunately for us, the Rockets have been on a tear
not
recently defensively. They're posting a defensive rating of 105.7 per 100 possessions. Anything under 110 is really solid.
Yeah.
If you're under 100, you have a historic defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's they have the second best defensive rating in the NBA right now. So it's gonna be really difficult, but I think some of the keys to doing that is just forcing them to take lower percentage shots, and we need to avoid easy lobs and drives to the basket.
Okay.
And I think, you know,
just so we don't have to work as much on the offensive end.
Yeah.
Against their top rated defense. Okay.
Yeah. On the defensive end, I think the Harden step back is somewhat of an inevitability.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah.
And sure. He's like a 35% career shooter, maybe a little bit lower. So I think that's one of the shots that I'm actually weirdly willing to let slide. Like, I'm willing to let those go up as long as we can kind of just stay away from letting him pass the ball to some of the other higher percentage shooters or to corner three opportunities.
Got it.
And avoiding drives to the basket. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, just avoid the highest percentage shots.
So this might be a weird kind of defensive battle, something I don't think people would expect.
Yeah, but it's going to be in a weird way because it's still going
to be. It's not going to be like 92 to 91.
No, it's still going to be a high scoring game. But honestly, like, if we can just eke out a few more stops, I really think it's going to go a long way.
You think we're going to have trouble scoring tonight?
I
mean, based on this, it seems like we might have a tough time just on their current momentum.
I think that we might have a harder time scoring than we anticipate. Yes.
For sure. Heel flipping off of that, perimeter defense needs to be on point.
Yeah.
There are two places where the Rockets shoot from, and it is directly underneath the basket and from three-point land.
Yeah.
That's the only two places.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. They lead the league in threes made by almost 200.
Wow.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
They're second in offensive rating, first in three-point attempts, and fifth in three-point percentage.
Yeah.
I mean, we need Bev to be a go for this one initially.
Yes.
Straight up.
I feel like a lot changes if Beverly doesn't play today.
I would say everything changes if Beverly doesn't play today.
Yeah.
Shea's length is going to be clutch on this one. We'll get into more of that.
He's actually looked pretty decent on Harden.
Yeah.
In the one game that he played. He wasn't afraid.
Yeah. I got some numbers. But yeah, I mean, the perimeter defense, the interior defense we know is kind of there. Zubac's been great. He's getting better as his fingers get a little more movable.
Yeah.
But just the perimeter defense has to be there tonight, which is kind of good because one of our shortcomings is paint defense.
Yeah.
In terms of communication. And we got to crush the glass.
Definitely.
They are 28th overall in total rebounds.
Oh, wow.
Which was way lower than I thought it was going to be.
Garbage.
True garbage. They are, what is it? They're 14th in offensive rebounds and 29th in defensive rebounds.
Wow.
I don't know how that shakes out to 28th, but... You know, I don't do the numbers.
I mean, and we've been a better offensive rebounding team, too, lately.
Yeah.
So I feel like that'll give us a nice little boost.
Absolutely. I mean, there's not a lot to take away from the two early matchups we had. We had a completely different team. We missed one of their two guys both times. But we won the boards both times.
Yes.
Which is usually a pretty good indicator if we're going to win the game.
Definitely.
So I'm hoping the offensive glass, I'm hoping Zubats is on point tonight down low on the offensive glass. And Trez can just kind of bully whoever they end up putting on him.
Yeah.
What else we got?
We got to get to the line, for sure.
Yes, we do.
So the Rockets are top 10 in free throw attempts and free throw percentage. You know, it's one of those things that is generally maligned about this team.
Hey, he knows how to manipulate the rules.
I don't know. I wouldn't call it that.
I'm saying if you could, you would. To all the people who don't like it.
And if anyone could do it, then everyone would do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so
we're pro Harden on this podcast.
But, yeah, I don't know. We're also a really great free throw shooting team.
The best.
We get a lot of attempts. We're best in terms of percentage. So
we need Gallo and Lou to live at the line tonight.
Yeah, especially if shots aren't falling.
Yeah. Trez has actually kept up some good free throw shooting. He's shooting 70% over his last five games.
I've been really impressed with his progression this year
from
the line.
In one of those games, he had a stinker. He went 1-4, still shooting 70% overall from those last couple games.
Nice.
Which is great. What could go wrong tonight?
Man, what couldn't go wrong?
A lot.
I'm going to pick out one. Just turnovers. This is a team that's like just outside the top 10 in terms of turnover percentage. They only turn the ball over about 13%. So... We turned the ball over almost 14%, which doesn't sound like that much, right? Like a single percentage, not that much. But you and I have both witnessed games where we have turnovers, I mean, in the 20s.
Yeah. It's not fun.
It's not solid. And I think that a key to that is just going to be we got to keep a cool head all the way through this game.
Yeah.
We can't get into those situations where we're rushing or trying to force something.
Those shaky, those like jump passes where someone's jumping right and we passing
can't,
left.
Yeah, and we can't try to throw any tricky full court passes.
Yeah.
Unless it's absolutely there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But that just goes into the forcing conversation, I feel like. We gotta pick our spots and, you know, we gotta move the ball efficiently.
Gotta hope Lou and Trez are not in there. Because they kind of feed off each other turnover-wise.
Definitely.
Like when one's turnover, the other one's usually is too. Got to hope they're locked in. The bench, we just talked about shooting. The bench shooting goes cold. That could be, that will do us in tonight.
Yeah.
We've seen some horrendous shooting percentages in the past week or so from the bench three-point-wise.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's indicative of a trend at all. I'm just saying it can rear its head every yeah. now and then. We've seen some great ones too. But I think tonight, if we don't get like a vintage Lou performance, plus, I'm not saying it's out of plus an efficient night from Jermichael Green, who's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And then maybe like some good 3-point percentage from Chandler, we could be in for a tough game.
Agreed.
It's going to come down to the bench shooting, I think. It's going to be a huge part.
Yeah. And this is like a big matchup, and these guys, you know, they say all the time that they don't look at the standings, which, can we just say one second, that's baloney. That's absolutely baloney.
You're calling Will's baloney on this?
There's no way. There's no way.
I think there's a way.
And you might not overthink it or whatever, but it's impossible
You're taking a peek is what you're saying.
You're taking a peek, or you're just aware. Everyone around you is currently talking about what seed you are.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're going to tell me that you're unaware?
They're locked in, bro. They're professionals.
Anyways, I think that they're going to be charged up for this matchup.
Oh,
As it is a potential playoff matchup. And they, you know, like, as I said at the top, they have the, like, they could sweep this series, which mm-hmm. would be really huge for this team.
Be a nice feather in their cap.
It's also out of this stretch of hard games, other than maybe the Lakers game for, you know, resting reasons. To me, it seems like the most winnable just because they're on the second night of a back-to-back.
Oh.
And they are in our house.
I like that take. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I hadn't thought about that.
But anyways, do you have anything else that could go wrong?
This is just a really broad one. It's just CP3 and Harden do their thing.
Yeah.
All over us. We know that Harden can do, obviously. I think Chris Paul is going to do his best to get Shamit mismatched.
Okay.
Either mismatched on Paul, because I don't think Shamit can really guard Paul, or mismatched on a bigger guy through some switches, and then just find out where Shamit is and try and expose him.
I think that Shamit...
I'm kind of harping on Shamit now. I'm realizing that, but this
I think
is what
that
Chris
Shamit can guard Paul.
Okay, I hope.
I'm throwing it out there. He can guard Paul. Paul, he's lost a lot of speed this year.
Yeah, he old.
It's only been a year. It's weird how in a year a player looks so much differently.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say Shamit can guard Paul.
I hope he does. Because they know. I mean, they know Bev and Shea are good defenders.
Yeah.
They absolutely do that. So I think they're going to try, if we go small, they're going to try and pick on Shamit.
Definitely.
I know he's got the fight in him. I hope he's got the performance. So
speaking of that, let's get into some key matchups.
Let's do it. Shea versus Harden.
Okay.
I'm so excited to watch this matchup.
Yeah.
Let's frickin' go, as I put in the notes, because this is a Safe for Work podcast. We talked about some of this yesterday, but Shea has seen Harden before this year during the third game of his career.
Yeah.
Can't imagine what the third day of work is like when you have to go against James Harden. Bradley guarded him for the majority of that game, holding him to a paltry 5 of 6 shooting.
Okay.
Shea was on him for 18 possessions, 2 of 6.
Really?
2 of 6.
That he's got a lot of length on him.
He's got the length on him. He's patient,
yeah,
which I think is the biggest key. Shea's offense went 1 of 3 when guarded by Harden. Not the best, but again, this was his third game. He's a completely different player since then. I'm really excited to see. Shea's been on a defensive tear lately.
He's looked really, really good.
This is a game where...
Man, if he got 3 steals tonight, that'd be insane.
You know me. I'm losing my mind if this guy gets 3 steals tonight. But I think if he gets some early ones, he can really disrupt Harden's rhythm.
Yeah.
I think after the game, we're going to hear some praise for Shea from Harden.
Okay.
I think that's going to happen. Or we're going to see a clip after the game of Harden coming up and like dapping up Shea and being like, keep doing your thing, man.
Think there's going to be a jersey swap?
No. Shea's not about that.
He's not swapping.
He's not taking an autograph. He's not like Luka. He's not taking some pity gift like he got from LeBron. I don't know. That rivalry doesn't exist. What do you got?
Gallo versus whoever.
Anybody can get it.
So I think that this is an interesting one because they had trouble with Gallo last time. Weirdly, He had his lowest percentage shooting when Harden was guarding him.
He's a good low post defender.
Yeah, he's a good post defender, as we've talked about before. However, this was earlier in the season. I feel like Gallo has gotten even better as the season's gone on.
Yep.
Obviously, he had the streak of 20-point games.
He's stronger now, too.
He is definitely stronger now.
Which is
how the strongest man gets stronger, it's unfathomable.
Spinach? I don't know.
He's Popeye.
Yeah.
But I think that he could have a little bit better of a time on post-ups with Harden on him. However, also just looking at their forward rotations.
A bit goofy.
PJ Tucker, 4 inches shorter than Gallo.
Good defender, though.
Good defender, 20 pounds smaller.
Much weaker.
Much weaker. Much weaker. That's a vanity weight that PJ Tucker has. And like Amon, he's not guarding Gallo.
No, he's not guarding Gallo.
So I think that, yeah, if they can get the ball to Gallo in the post, as I always harp on.
You love it. Ooh, can we see some meatball lineup tonight?
Possibly.
They're putting Nene out there just to ruin theirs.
Possibly against that second unit.
Yeah.
Like against Nene for sure. I don't know if I love the matchup against Capella with Gallo
at
the five.
I don't like that.
Just because, yeah.
Capella's crazy athletic.
he's so athletic. Yeah.
Bev versus CP3.
Okay.
Yes, Bev is questionable. I don't think there's any way he's missing this game.
Man, this is going to be one of those previews where if it's announced in 5 minutes that he's definitely not playing, we're going to look like idiots.
I don't think we're going to look like idiots. We're preparing for the fact that he's going to play. He's questionable. He's not out. I think it's right. I'm going to check Clippers PR actually right after I get done with this. I don't really have any stats for this one because we know what this is.
Oh, yeah.
This is two of the most competitive guys in the league going at each other.
I don't think they got to play each other last year.
I don't think they did either.
And they only played, CP3 played in, I believe, the second game against the Rockets.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's two guys who are...
This is my individual matchup of the year for me tonight.
I saw that you put that in the notes, and I hadn't thought about it, but it is really, really interesting. These are two guys who are cut from the same grain in terms of, like, competitiveness.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really good.
I'm going to be the first one to ask Doc if Beverly's playing. That's my thing now. You want to talk about Zoo versus Capella?
Yeah. So another matchup I'm interested in is just how the fives in general are going to work out. I'm excited to see how the Zoo versus Capella matchup goes.
Yeah.
They both just kind of have similar old school center kind of styles. Capella has Zoo like on athleticism by a kind of a long shot.
Has most people in the NBA.
He's so quick. He's a solid rim defender. Yeah, man, and he's like a fighter.
Two big boys.
But I'm really excited to see how Zoo kind of handles himself in this one.
Yeah.
Obviously, if he's able to finish effectively, I do think Capella's going to have a much harder time guarding him.
Mm-hmm. All that energy he's got to expend on the defensive end is going to be, especially in the second out of a back-to-back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be really difficult. And then I'm also excited for this, for the reserves. Because...
Yeah. Nene's old.
Because Nene, if you didn't know, is old.
Old man.
And Trez is not.
No, Trez is 25.
So I'm excited to see what Trez can do there. I expect Trez to actually have a really dominant performance.
I would love that.
Out of our two main center rotations.
I think we'll see like the 17 minutes from Zoo probably.
It just depends on how well this matchup works.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, if he's able to rebound efficiently and if he's finishing well around the rim, you know, which has been a little touch and go, better recently.
Yeah.
We could see. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see much more than like 20, 22 minutes of Zoo,
unless he's truly just dominating.
Yeah,
but that'll remain to be seen. So my prediction for this one, my heart says Clippers, my brain is leading towards the Rockets. I gotta go with my heart. I'm going Clippers, 120-116. Some questionable reffing will ruin this one for the Rockets.
Okay.
No disrespect to our guys, obviously.
I think it's gonna be similarly close. I'm also leaning Clippers.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 118. I'm gonna go 118 to 112. I think that
okay.
It's close, but we're able to take care of business in the fourth.
We're TCBing.
Oh, yeah.
Doing. Coming up after this, we're going to do a very quick What Could Have Been Wednesday. But first, we mentioned up at the top. But guys, if you're watching the game not at Staples Center and you want a place to drink, check out Tom's Urban.
Yeah.
Jump shot away from Staples Center. Layup, if you will.
Absolutely.
Right across the
If you don't drink,
street.
They've got food, too.
Bunch of food. They got 70 big screen TVs. Go watch the Final Four there. Maybe see some future second round picks from the Clips. We've been there a couple of times. Always fantastic.
Yeah.
If you want to set a personal record for Cho's eating, come through on Sunday. That'll be good. 50 kinds of beers up top we're going to be having the watch party on the U-Pour floor.
Yeah.
I might do the suicide.
Yeah.
I might fill two cups with...
I think it's a little rough to call it that. I like the dead man's float
better.
We'll
call it the dead man's float. I apologize for that. again, that is Tom's Urban, LA Live, come through. So welcome to What Could Have Been Wednesdays.
Hey.
Hey, it's Wednesday. So there was some talk about how the Clippers almost cut Trez. Doc had mentioned that. Like, this was like before everything happened, obviously. Like in training camp.
Yeah.
After the trade and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, what happens if we cut Trez?
I don't know. I'm blown away by this.
I think it makes sense.
I feel like I'm caught so off guard.
They didn't know what he was capable of. You know.
I think that's foolish.
Well, obviously,
last year, I was ready and I was screaming the praises for Trez. I was ready for him to start over DeAndre Jordan. We now
this
know.
This was before that, is what I'm saying. Like, right when the trade happened.
Oh, this was right when the trade.
Yeah.
I got you.
They just didn't really find what he was capable of. Trez had this reputation as a bit of a hothead.
Yeah.
Because he had pushed a ref in a G League game, but that ref had it coming.
So, obviously.
Yeah. What happens? How many less wins do we have? What seed, if any, are we for the playoffs? Does he have this good of a performance anywhere else?
You know who could kill with Trez? That other team around this area.
The Lakers?
Yes.
Ooh.
The Brentwood Lakers. They've had...
Not enough shooters
for sure, but they've had issues at the center position.
Yeah.
They've had some really failed experiments with...
Bruzma down there.
Yeah.
Guy's always drinking beers. I don't know if that's true.
But, I
Do you think we're in the playoffs if Trez isn't on this team?
No. No, not at all.
I agree.
I think our win total decreases by...
12?
I was going to say 18 games.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Lou still wins Sixth Man of the Year, but his burden is so much bigger.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I honestly feel like, obviously, the shooting is the only concern. But as your second unit guy, I just see Trez slotting in really well.
Almost anywhere.
Into almost any team.
Yeah, he fits. If you run the pick and roll,
yeah,
he's good.
The only team... Yeah, honestly, the only team I think that he would have a less good performance on is if he stayed on the Rockets, just because of how big the shooting can dip on that second unit.
True, yeah. If his passing was better, he'd be great on the Warriors.
Yeah.
Anyway, these are all impure thoughts. But it's just crazy to me. I mean, we don't make the... It's just... It would have been such a different year.
I think this team lacks an identity in the absence of Trez. And I know
100%.
That Pat Beverly is obviously a huge part of the culture and like a huge vocal leader. I cannot imagine this team without Trez,
to be
perfectly honest. He's like he is an inseparable piece for me.
For sure.
And it makes me worried what's going to happen, you know, after next season.
We've talked about this. How much money... Do you think Trez gets offered?
Man, it's so
per year.
It's so hard to call, but I just think on the open market, he's going to be fielding offers. He's got to be fielding offers.
Comfortably double digits.
Oh, yeah.
I think someone would overpay him to like be a starter.
Yeah.
Which he might want to do. I would hold nothing against him if he took a big contract somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really could. Especially
if
we don't
match it.
I
think he could be looking at like 4 for $65.
Yeah.
In that neighborhood, you know, just sub 20.
I think maybe also a team with, depending what the cap situation is,
yeah,
could throw him more than 20 a year. I don't think it's the
smartest
thing.
That would be steep. That'd be
absolutely
really, really steep.
But if you're the Suns and you're a poorly run organization,
yeah,
you're the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a pretty crazy thing. I hope we can retain him. He's a guy who I want on the Clippers for the rest of his career.
Yeah,
I think everyone listening wants that too.
Yeah.
I want to bring back my idea I floated.
Okay.
$10 million a year. lifetime contract.
I'm with it.
Lifetime contract.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Bomber's worth 40 bill.
Yeah, plays as long as he wants to play, and then he just gets 10 mil a year.
Yeah, he would obviously do some stuff for the team, you know, move some chairs or something.
And 10 mil a year, I mean, that doesn't really hurt the cap at all. And then
no, and as inflation goes, we're not adjusting for inflation even. Yeah. That could be 4 million a year with how the current economy's going.
That's true.
He's going to be
it's pennies on the dollar.
He's going to be getting paid in barrels of cash because all our money's not worth anything. but yeah, that's the brief what could have been Wednesday. It was kind of a freaky one to think about.
Yeah.
Thank God it didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's a dark Arrow universe over there.
That's very dark.
In the world where he doesn't play for the Clippers. Coming up, we got some brief Clippers talk. But first, Will, are you following multiple Lockdown podcasts?
Oh, yeah. I can't get enough.
Do you wish they were aggregated in one place?
Oh, it'd be great.
Well, you need to check out Lockdown Net on Twitter and Instagram.
Whoa, what?
They got everything. They got the brand new MLB shows on there. They have all the NFL and NBA stuff from your local hosts with insider knowledge. On Instagram, you get the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your stories feed. Longer cuts, anything, something crazy is happening.
Deep cuts?
Deep cuts. So check out Lockdown Net on Twitter and Instagram. And also, you need to check out the Himalaya app, which is great. You can sort playlists of episodes, which is cool.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to the Rockets' perspective of what's going to happen, you can listen to that before ours.
Yeah.
Or just listen to ours twice.
It's true.
Who wouldn't want to do that? please also rate and subscribe us on there. When you get in your car, tell that smart speaker, hey, Himalaya app, play those Locked On Clippers.
Play Locked On Clippers.
A sick guitar riff will play. You'll get to hear us.
Yeah. Tell any smart speaker, play Locked On Clippers. Even if it's not yours. Play it at your friend's house.
Just shout it, and Xbox One will play it. Coming out of this, some Clips talk. So this is an interesting tweet I saw. I can't remember who it was from. I will find it and give them credit. When is Cheryl Miller commentating with Ralph? They announced it in the beginning of when they were announcing all the guest spots.
Oh, really?
When is she? There's no date left. There's no Corey Maggette. There's four games left.
Yeah.
Five? Four.
Four.
When is she commentating with him? It would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be kind of a bad look if this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
They announced it.
She'd be great, too.
She'd be fantastic. She's a basketball genius. And I think her brother played. I'm not 100% on that. big ups to Angel Delgado and Jonathan Motley. Angel Delgado, first team All-G League. Jonathan Motley, second team All-G League.
Oh, really?
Keep it up.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
I wonder why Motley was second team. Played less games?
Probably played less games. And Delgado, I don't know. Delgado was Rookie of the Year, so I'm happy he's on first team G League.
Yeah.
I don't think you can win Rookie of the Year and be on second. Those guys deserve it. I hope they can see some more time up with us next year.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how those guys kind of develop in the off season. And
Molly's been working on his jumper, it seems like.
Yeah, and I guess that's the issue for both of those guys is they need to be able to carve out a role at the four.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe like a really, like if you're Delgado, maybe a really small five for a small ball lineup. Maybe. He's short for a second.
Yeah, I just still don't see you getting a lot of minutes or run with that. I don't know.
Here's a quick question. We got a couple minutes left. Yes, this is way too early. What do you think the fan base's expectations are for next year?
My own or the fan base's as
a
whole?
The fan base's as a whole. I'm a little concerned.
The fan base as a whole is expecting at least one max guy. Like a guy who's finished on the MVP ballot before.
I think in terms of team performance, from what I've seen, I feel like Clippers fans, I've said this before on this podcast, were kind of like a very broke person who thinks they're about to win the lottery.
Yeah.
Who has insider info. They know a guy who works at the plant. They got the right scratcher. That's what it kind of feels like right now. And I think.
Elaborate.
I think people think we're about to be rich as hell.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we've never been like this before. We've never had this. We've been eating beans and rice for however many years. And now I think people are getting really excited, which is good. But I mean, maybe temper down expectations a little bit.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's why I've tried to, like, bring down the idea, like, just to earth that we're getting two max guys.
Don't think that's happening.
I don't really think that that's happening, and maybe we don't even want it to in the long term.
Cap space-wise.
Cap space-wise, trying to find, like...
Development-wise.
Development-wise for our young guys, and just trying to find, like, actual adequate fits.
Yeah.
And that's something that I have no concern about with this front office. These aren't the guys...
These trades have already shown we're great at that.
Yeah, these aren't the guys that, like, just because a big name is out there,
yeah,
is going to take somebody who's a bad fit.
100%.
But yeah, the fans' expectations as a whole, it does seem like everybody...
We're excited,
is
which
thinking
makes...
about two max slots. And I do encourage everybody to be excited. It's a really exciting time to be a Clippers fan.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you know, it's just not a loss if we don't get two MVP guys.
Not at all.
And to be honest, it's not even a total loss if we don't get one.
Yeah.
I do think there's other moves that could be made. I think adding some more high-percentage shooters maybe on the second unit, as well as just the further, like, gelling and development of this team. Obviously, standout guys like JaMychal.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, retaining that in and of itself is a mini win. You know,
yeah,
it's maybe not as marquee of a move as, like, getting,
yeah,
you know, your Kawhis or whatever. But, like, just retaining a guy like that for a team-friendly contract.
Huge.
That's a long-term big deal.
Absolutely. That being said, we're going to go to the Western Conference Finals this year. No. guys, that has been Locked On Clippers, probably Locked On NBA Network. Tomorrow, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory against the Rockets.
Yeah.
We will be at the game tonight, so stay tuned to at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips for pre- and post-game content. Yeah, we got some Thirsty Thursdays tomorrow, too. We want to see more of.
Yeah.
Just itching for those playoffs.
I know. It's like the... I'm glad that... I'm happy and sad that like all the games to end the season are so hard.
Yeah.
Because obviously it sucks that it's like they're harder games, but it makes the end of the season less of a slog.
For sure.
Which I do appreciate.
Yeah.
It's you know, we've been doing this for a while.
yeah, we will see you guys tomorrow. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.